Welcome to this edition of the Baltic Triangle podcast, and today we're right in the heart of the Baltic itself. We're at the UTC, just off Jamaica Street, and we've been here before, haven't we, Mick?
Yeah, we have. In fact, the very first podcast interview we did was one I did with the headmaster of the academy, and that was nearly 18 months ago. But it's fantastic to be here today because we are in the bowels of the building, and we're not going to be talking about the academy or the school. This is something quite different, isn't it, Mark?
It is, and I remember the podcast very well you did with Ian Parry because it really shone a light for me on the amazing groundbreaking work they were doing at the UTC. And it really brought home to me how pioneering it was here. And to find this story here today, it's a really nice link back to that one. But again, some incredible stuff going on here in the crypt.
Well, this building, it was in the 19th century, it was a sugar warehouse. And so a lot of the building was built in the shape to store sugar. And the room we're in now, the crypt as you call it, or the bowels as I like to call it, this would have been used for storing sugar. So this whole area had a very vibrant history back in the Victorian days. And if we could go back in time, we'd find lots of sugar workers here, horse and carts, delivering it to the ships, docked on the Mersey. And today, this farm urban business right in the bottom of this building is just amazing.
Well, the very nature itself of the way the building is and what it is, it's lent itself really nicely to what it's now become, because the fact that it's temperature controlled and the fact that it's got its own kind of climate down here as well.
So are we going to tell people what they actually do here first of all? Because it's a bit weird. I'm sitting here with you and there's about 50 lettuces hanging up from the wall and I've got no idea why they're there. It says Greens for Good next to it. So just tell us about it, will you?
Well, what they do at Farm Urban is they look to challenge the way that we produce food locally, Mick. And they're taking a much more scientific approach to the way they do that. I mean, what they're trying to do here is to grow healthy, nutritious, cost-effective and sustainable food, but they're looking to do it right at the heart of the community. Food for the future for everyone is how they describe that. So I've come along here today, Mick, to talk to Jane Goss, who's the operations director of Farm Urban, and to find out a little bit more about what it is that they're doing here and why it's so groundbreaking.
Farm Urban, we're a social enterprise, started in 2014 and co-founded by our directors Jens Thomas and Paul Myers. So the guys back then were both academics at the University of Liverpool, both completing PhDs in the life sciences department, but very much sort of whilst they were embroiled in the world of academia, wanting to do something that could have real impact on the world as well. And both of them from different directions really came at this issue of global food security, thinking about what we eat, how it's produced, and really wanting to do something to address some of the issues around that. So Paul's background, his PhD was in epigenetics, and very interested in human health, and he was very much looking at the importance of diet in terms of its impact on us, on our lifestyles, and wanting to think about how we can change our behaviours around food and what we eat. And then Jens, having travelled the world here, there and everywhere over the years, was really very concerned with the environmental impact of food production on the planet. And I think the passions that they both had really came together around this issue of food production. And so Farm Urban was born. And it's really been a journey over the past 5 years, a lot of experimentation, trials, testing, getting out there into the community, building a lot of small scale systems to get to the point where we're at now, where we've got Liverpool's first vertical farm here in the UTC school in the Baltic. So we are based in the crypt, which is the underground part of the old CUC building. It's been a bit of a journey over the past few years to turn this from a a very much a basement for a lot of storage, into the space that you see now, where we've got the farm that's just very recently, just last month, we finished installation of. So yeah, so we're just sat now with some of the small scale systems. You can see where we are here. So we've got one of our edible walls up next to us, with some beautiful living leaves growing on it there. And a few other different systems that we've experimented with over the years. So we've very much been trying the technology as it's evolved. It's very new technology, so vertical growing's not new, but there's a lot of developments in the field at the moment. And we finally landed on one that we really felt really works, we're really excited about. And so that's what we've now installed in the other end of the space we're in here, a 240 tower system that's going to grow loads of leafy greens, herbs, and plenty of fresh produce to get out across the city.
It's an amazing space to be in. I mean, obviously, it's so strange to be sat in the basement somewhere and be surrounded by leafy plants. Are there different types of urban farm? And what makes this one so different then, Jane?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, urban farming can mean lots of different types of growing, kind of is what it says on the tin. So it's growing food in urban spaces, so in the city. So, you know, there's lots of different types of things. And in Liverpool, especially, actually, a lot of that going on in different community spaces, lots of allotments around the cities. So we tend to think of growing food, of course, in the soil, in the ground, as we've traditionally done for many, many years now. What's different about this space? I mentioned we're growing vertically. So we are growing using hydroponic systems. So this doesn't require any soil. We're growing plants in water. So the plants are growing their roots into the water in the systems, and they're getting all the nutrients that they need out of that water. So what that means in a space like this, for example, we're underground. So we're growing in very relatively small, compact space. Growing upwards in our towers means that we can grow lots and lots of food in quite a compact area. We can grow in any conditions because we control all of the conditions down here. And this space especially is fantastic because it's this old building that's been designed from its warehouse days to maintain temperature and humidity and everything else, so ideal for what we're doing. And then growing under our LED lights means that we can decide when the light goes on and off.
That's something I noticed when I first arrived, is the lighting itself. It's not necessarily daylight, is it? It's a bright light for sure. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we use LED lights. There's been a lot, as with the growing technology, there's been a lot of developments in the light technology over the past few years. And that, again, has really got us to the point where now it's quite viable. There's been various lights that you could use for this type of growing, but LEDs, we know generally they're highly efficient, and we can control what frequencies we're pushing out onto the plants from there, so we can be giving the plants actually the bits of light that are most effective to help them to grow. It's a really exciting area, and we're doing a lot of work with organisations and universities around the country on this. There's a lot of research happening in this at the moment, so it's a very innovative space.
Perfect. Your bold mission statement is to eat, grow, and learn together. I mean, how important is education in this whole process for you?
Yeah, so I think if you look around at what we've got here, there's obviously a lot of exciting technology, and that is really key, I think, to part of how we need to change the way that we grow food and the way that we consume food. But obviously the systems alone can only do so much, and I think changing our behaviour around the way that we relate to food is really important. And that's what we've really found over the past 5 years is as we've experimented, I mean, being in the school here itself, we've done a lot of programs and a lot of activities with the students here, and it just really sparks their imagination. So we've got this real world problem of how are we going to feed 10 billion people by 2050? But when you think of the problem, that seems somewhat insurmountable, and it's what can I do around that, and how does this relate to me individually? And I think what we started to see by just engaging students here and then further afield with this technology that we're using, it got them really excited, and it got them thinking about what am I eating, where is it coming from, what is this all about? So I think as much as the technology is important and the benefits that it brings to urban food growing, the education element for us is the two really go hand in hand, because we all need to be educating ourselves and thinking about where our food comes from, understanding this to really then think about what difference can I make, what impact can I have on this.
Do you think then that they might even have at some point in the future a career path that is actually in urban farming?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really interesting being based at the school here. The outgoing principal, Ian Parry, he often talked about the fact that he's preparing the kids here for jobs that don't even exist yet. So we don't know, and I think that's changed so much. We don't know what work looks like in probably even 10 years' time, but certainly 20, 30 years down the line. And so I think, you know, technology is changing so rapidly, and I think it's about learning to adapt to that, but about kind of enabling people, young people especially, to develop the skills to move with whatever comes and to think creatively and innovatively about what good can be done with technology, because obviously it can be used to positive and negative ends, and really changing that mindset for young people about how they can approach the world of work and the careers that are out there for them. So I think, we've been training people coming into our space over the past 6 months as we've set the farm up, and we're starting to try and teach people coming in how to operate it, because for us that learning curve's obviously been over the past few years building systems ourselves, tinkering with things, learning as we go, and now we're really starting to develop programs to train people here, but also to get out into the community actually and train people to set these systems up themselves and be able to maintain them and grow their own food.
So why do you think it's so important then that we shift our attitude towards the way we grow food locally? I mean, what are some of the benefits of urban farming then?
Yeah, so I think in terms of bringing food growing into city spaces, obviously I think the percentage of people living in cities now globally is at something like 80%, and it's just increasing all the time. So for us, it just feels like it makes sense to bring more food closer to people. You know, there's such a high food mileage, such a high footprint on the distance that a lot of our food travels, and what that actually means, as well as the carbon footprint that's created out of that, is that a lot of our fresh food is actually grown and prepared and packaged to enable it to transport that far. So we're really growing food to be able to travel rather than for taste. And I think that's what a lot of people say to us when they come in here, is like, wow, I never knew that, you know, lettuce could taste like this, and these and herbs are just so flavorful, because we don't have to worry about growing them in such a way that they'll last, you know, in a plastic bag for a few weeks before they get to you. So that's one of the big things, is bringing more food closer to people. And we're not saying you're going to grow everything in cities. And I think there's a lot of interesting research out there at the moment suggesting we could have up to 10% of our global food production going on in urban spaces, which would be significant, but it's obviously not going to grow everything for us. But what it does do is it brings a lot of produce closer to people, and so that's why we're focusing on leafy greens, on herbs, things that perish quite quickly when they travel. So you know, there's no need to grow potatoes in the city, because we can grow them in rural areas and transport them in, and they'll last a long time. But the stuff that we want fresh, that we want really flavoursome, we want to get that growing closer to people so that we can be harvesting it and eating it on the day that it's picked.
And especially with the way you grow things as well, there's this zero waste and organic nature to it, isn't there? So you've got very little pesticides, and that's really important too, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're pesticide free here. So because we're in a controlled environment, we don't need to control. We have biosecurity measures to make sure that the farm stays in a pristine condition, but that means that we don't have pests coming into that space, so we don't need to use any pesticides. Our food is it's not technically organic because the label for organic food is actually requires it to be grown in the soil from the Soil Association, but you know we like to say it's as good as or it's better than organic. It's you know it's got nothing added to it. We add the nutrients in. And that's all that goes in there. And then one of the other benefits of this technology is really the water usage. So hydroponic growing, because the water's circulating around the system, although we're growing plants in water, somewhat counterintuitively, we require very, very little. So hydroponic growing compared to conventional agriculture is using over 90% less water.
Why have you chosen the Baltic for the farm then? What is it about the community here that makes it work?
Well, for us, I think being here is very much all about the school that we're in here, the Life Sciences UTC school. So we've been in this space for about 3-4 years now, and that really came out of a collaboration between the school and ourselves doing some extracurricular and some enrichment activities. But this school, I think it really reflects what the whole of the Baltic Triangle is about. It's so innovative. It's not like any school you've ever been in. I'm sure you'll have noticed that yourself when you first come into the building. It just really pushes the boundaries on what you can do in education. It engages a lot with local businesses and beyond to bring employers in to work with the students. And that's how it started for us, doing programs here, to having the fantastic opportunity to actually come and set up shop in this space. So for the last few years, it's very much been an experimental agri-lab where we've been testing to the point where we've now got the farm installed. I think just being in the Baltic Triangle area is obviously generally just a really exciting area to be doing this in such a lot of creative and innovative people in the area. And I think that you really get that that sense of community around that approach to things and that way of thinking. And you know, we've partnered on a lot of our projects and a lot of the things that we're developing with people literally on our doorstep. It's got such a community feel. You know, we don't need to go further afield to bring in expertise. We've got the people here that have got the skills, but that have got the passion as well, and they get what we're about and want to share that vision.
Absolutely. It's something that I've said many, many times in the podcasts that I've done, and it never ceases to amaze me exactly how many people that we're surrounded by here in the Baltic that have that attitude and just that general persona about them. It's incredible. So a perfect example then of how we're reconnecting people with food is your Greens for Good campaign, which has just been launched. Can you tell me a little bit about the overview of what your ambition is for this campaign then?
Yeah, so we're really, really excited about this. So I think after these many years of a lot of experimentation with systems and a lot of work with schools and the community with our education programs, we're really bringing it all together now with our new farm. So we installed the vertical farm just last month, and we completed that, and we've got plants in there at the moment. We've got food growing with trials ongoing. Ready to get it out there to the city. But we really wanted to bring together everything that we're about. So it's the food, but it's people as well. And it's the connection around that. So with Greens for Good, what we're doing is getting our produce out to businesses and homes across the city, but in such a way that they can support our work to get greens into schools across Liverpool as well. So people can buy one of our Greens for Good boxes, which contains living leaves, edible flowers, and some of the Mighty Greens, which is our more robust kales and chards that we're taking into the schools for the kids, or some of the fragrant herbs that we'll be using in some of the school meals. And for every box that people buy, they're then supporting greens going into a local school that will be used either in their school meals or in some of the programs that we're doing with the schools in the area. So in addition to the boxes, people can also then have one of our produce pod systems. So this is our small aquaponic system that grows leafy greens, herbs, plants, whatever you want in it, really. And then similarly, With that, we've got produce pod systems we can put into schools, supported by an education program that we've designed around that as a living lab that the kids can experiment with. And then we've got the living walls, like the one we're sat next to here. So these beautiful lush green walls that you know can go on your office wall, your home wall if you wanted it to. And then again, we are developing at the moment programs around this so that community groups, especially in areas that really have a lot of, that don't have access to fresh produce, can learn how to install and maintain one of these themselves and be able to actually grow their own have that availability of fresh produce.
So there's a whole range of different products then that you can get involved with. It's not just one particular thing. Even buying one box is going to go some way to supporting the local school, and it's also going to help the environment, obviously. And you also help yourself at the same time by eating healthy food. How else can people get involved then? What is it you're looking for people to do?
In addition to the campaign itself just launching this month, we have also just launched a crowdfunder. So I think this is a fantastic way for really anybody to get behind this. So on the crowdfunder, we're offering all of the things that we've got available, the boxes, the produce pod, the walls, but also tours of the farm. NEMA Tower is one of them. So when we take the boxes out to businesses, every box gets a handwritten note of who's packed and harvested and planted your produce. And in addition to that, they'll be able to know whose tower that's been grown in. So where we really want to be in the next sort of 6 months' time is getting the greens out to individuals and homes across the city and get the word out there about what we're doing and really, really try and bring the whole of the city and beyond together around this campaign and the concept of what it's about. It's not just selling greens to people. There's so many benefits to that, but it's really about supporting the campaign to get greens out there to schools across the city and to make sure everyone's got access to fresh, healthy food.
What can people expect to see as the next stages if they do support this incredible project?
Yeah, so the crowdfunder itself, we're really using as a way for us to ramp up our engagement with schools initially. So the whole model of Greens for Good more broadly is that everybody buying produce in whatever form is supporting Greens and education programs to go into schools. But with the crowdfunder, what we're aiming to do is to get a produce pod system, one of our aquaponic systems, into every school across the city. So our initial target, we've set at 25K, would get us into 100 schools. If we can double that, we can get into all the schools in the city. And that means that every school has got one of these small systems growing fresh, healthy greens and that the kids can get curious about.
It's amazing to have the farm here in the city. And I'm wondering now, can Liverpool and the Liverpool region lead the way in the new agricultural revolution then?
Yeah, I like that, Mark. absolutely. I mean, I'm actually really excited about this. I think, we're not the first hydroponic farm in the country, but we are the first organisation doing something this unique. So what we're growing is not just the more expensive high-end herbs that the farms in other areas are currently doing. We want to grow produce that everybody wants to be eating and get that out there to everybody. But also I think with the creation of this Greens for Good model, what the campaign is all about is really getting food out everywhere and bringing people together around that and supporting for young people especially, this shift in behaviour, so around diet, but also around the way that we approach, future jobs and everything else. It's just such a powerful tool, I think, potentially, to enable a lot of good stuff to happen. So, yeah, I think with what we've now got here, with this fantastic kind of facility that's now here in the heart of the city, I think there's a real opportunity to get this out everywhere, just green up the city, but in a way that people can really engage with. So I think any green space is fantastic, but green space that you can eat and that gets you thinking about, where's my food coming from? What's this all about? What's this food on the wall? it's really going to spark people's imagination. And then we're giving them something to get behind with that as well.
So how can we keep up to date with the Greens for Good campaign and latest news from Farm Urban?
So of course we're all over the internet. So with the crowdfunder, especially at the moment, there's loads of updates on our social media channels, and you can find out more about the campaign generally on our Greens for Good website, which is www.greensforgood.co.uk. People that are interested in a bit more of the background on Farm Urban can also go to farmurban.co.uk and read more there. What we are doing at the moment is we're taking boxes out to local businesses to get people sort of trying the greens. So if any local businesses across the city centre want to get in touch, if they fancy trying a box, just send us a message and we will pop over and drop one off for you. I think for individuals at the moment, we're hoping to have boxes for smaller boxes for individual production available from early next year. But certainly people can obviously follow the crowdfunder, see what's on there, and find out more about that through our social media channels at the moment.
That is an amazing story, isn't it, Mark? I can tell that you were completely knocked out by it, weren't you?
Absolutely. I think it's an incredible story. And I'm just so proud that it's actually happening here, right in the heart of the city, and yet another groundbreaking story for us.
Yeah, and they've got a Kickstarter campaign if people want to get involved. Their target is 25k, and I believe they're already halfway there, aren't they?
After one day, Mick, they're 47% to the way of the target. But I can't reiterate enough how much, if they do go beyond that target, it's going to make a massive, massive impact to the schools across this region.
Yeah. Well, if people are interested in contributing to the Kickstarter campaign, if you go on Kickstarter, it's Greens for Good, Vertical Farming with a Social Mission. So Greens for Good, Vertical Farming with a Social Mission. And I really hope it's a big success.
Well, I think it's going to be a success, definitely. Whatever happens, watch this space. The other thing to say is, again, is to reiterate what Jane said before. They're looking to partner and to get relationships going with local businesses right across the region. Get connected with them. And don't forget, the way this food is grown, it's going to have a massively different flavour, texture, taste. Honestly, I can't reiterate enough. They've got samples that they can get to you.
Okay, and if anyone's got any stories they want us to feature in the Baltic Triangle podcast, we have an amazing new email address, do we?
Yes, we do, we do. It's info@baltictrianglepodcast.com. So info@baltictrianglepodcast.com. And as ever, we're looking for some feedback from you. We're looking for reviews. And just tell us what you want to hear from us.
Okay, see you next time.
All the very best.